Good morning.
Good morning.
Aren't you glad that Jesus is coming?
Amen.
Amen. He's not forgot about us or forsaken us. He's just waiting for the perfect timing. God the Father's never messed up in one time in His timing. We can look in the Bible one time, it looked like it was going to get dark and the children of Israel were going to be defeated. Well, what happened? The sun was stayed in its place. Amen. So God can make a way. He is always on time, so whatever your need is this morning, God's here to meet it, amen? And it's not too late, and I thank God for that. It's good to see each and every one of you. I missed you so much last week. I apologize for not being here, feeling so sick. I appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate y'all carrying on, and appreciate everybody participating and doing their part, and letting the church be what it's supposed to be about Jesus. Amen. But thank you for everything you've done. If you would this morning, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and John chapter 12. Matthew chapter 7 and John chapter 12. And you know, let's, while you're turning there, let me preface this by saying this. You know, you and I, we sow certain things in our garden and we expect to get those things back. And then, you know, we put money in the bank and we expect, it may not be much interest, but we like a little interest on that, you know. We love one another and we're always so glad to get love back. And this morning I want us just to think about the thought that Jesus Christ, He come and He served us in a perfect way. And He put the ability then for you and I to be His servants. To be able to have a life that is destined, that is ordained, that's ordered, that's anointed, that is something that is not just, as Brother Dennis talked about, being vanity, but it's valuable and it's eternal. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I want you to be encouraged in who you are because of Jesus and what you can do because of Him and by Him being in your lives. Amen? First of all, let's look at the this right in our face verse of Scripture that what Jesus out of His mouth, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look what Jesus says, and He says this to get our attention even today. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." And then in John chapter 12, look at verse, we'll cover these later, but look at verse 26 for sake of time. John chapter 12, verse 26. I love this because it goes right along with what Brother Dennis was saying about if. If any man, if any human, if any person, Jesus says, red letter, verse 26, John chapter 12, "If any person serve Me, let them follow Me where I am, there shall also My servant be. If any man, any person serve Me, him will My Father honor." Think about that. If any man serve Me, let him follow Me, and where I am, there shall also My servant be. If any man serve Me, him will My Father honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the awesome understanding, Lord, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when, as Brother Dennis talked this morning, when we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we're saying that Jesus has the supreme authority in our life. He has the number one say. He has the perfect will. He has the perfect leadership and guidance. And Lord, we want to adhere to that. We want to come under that umbrella and we want to follow the very shepherd's voice in every area of our life. And we ask You, Father, today that You help us to see exactly the gifts and the calling, the very things that You have placed in our lives, or the heart's desire that's there that may be under some layers of hurt or confusion, or under some situations and circumstance where the enemy is trying to manipulate and keep from coming to the surface. And we ask this morning that You just encourage every person and help the real person who we are in Jesus Christ. Let it come forth, bubbling out, like the rivers of living water. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we all say,
amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, think about it. Today, you and I, you know, we have the ability to live our lives and to do certain things that we enjoy in the natural, and that pleases God because He wants you and I to enjoy everything about this life. But also, we have an anointing inside of us. We have a calling upon us. And we have giftings in our life to be able to do things that is going to be lasting. At this point and stage in my life, when I look back over certain people's lives that as I was a young person before I got saved, that maybe were quote unquote, and I don't like the word, but my heroes, you know, we all had heroes or we all had idols or people that we looked up to. When I look at their lives now, certain celebrities and so forth, athletes, there's a sadness that comes into my heart. Because many of them may have lived and died, and everything that they've done, it was just for this moment, space of time. And they missed out on what they really could have done that would have been for the eternal. Amen. And so when I listen to their music or watch a movie or whatever now, I got to be very careful about how much of that I partake of because it really affects me because there is an intense sadness there. Because you can feel what was missed out on. You can feel the vanity rather than the value. And we're going to talk about all that. But you and I, it's different today. Amen. You and I, we can enjoy everything about this natural life, but yet we can also do some things in the natural that are spiritual, that are lasting, that are eternal, that'll be so mind-blowing that we can't even understand right now. But when we step on the other side and we look at the impact and we look at people who are there because of what Jesus done in and through our lives, it's going to make everything worth it. Amen? You are a vessel, amen, a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability in your life to make a change in somebody else that will forever cause them to look and be able to see Jesus and to have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a thought. But let's talk about some things here now. Jesus said, look here at a verse in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. I believe it's chapter 20. Jesus makes this statement. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Look what Jesus says. He makes a statement. He said, "But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.'" Verse 29. He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." And he went not. And then verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Jesus asked this question. And they said unto him, "The first." Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Why? Because they had knowledge. Amen. He's talking to the Jewish people. They understood what God's plan and will was. Yet they decided not to do it. And that we're tying that in with where Jesus said, it's not about calling me Lord, Lord. It's about doing the will of my Father. Well, nobody knows the will of God personally, intimately. We're not talking about corporately, but we're talking about intimately in your life better than you do. Amen. God has a call on your life. And so you've got to figure out exactly what that is and understand that you've got an anointing to bring that to pass. And that anointing is so powerful that in the midst of whatever the trial, tribulation, temptation, struggle that the enemy might try to bring against you, that anointing of God is greater. And that Word of God is true and it's sure. It's a foundation that will not fall. And so you and I, we got to recognize and realize we're talking about getting people into heaven. That's what He's talking about here. And these people here, they're going to miss out, sadly, on that opportunity. But you and I today, we're not. We're not. We're making a choice. Our choice is that God Almighty, by His Son Jesus, has saved us. And because we're calling Jesus, we're naming Jesus, we're submitting to Jesus Christ as our Lord, we're in a place and a position where people are going to follow us into heaven. Amen? Because they're following us as you and I follow Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." You and I, we've got to recognize and realize that there is a light. Brother Dennis talked about it this morning. There is an anointing. There is a pull in your life that gets people's attention. And you and I want to be in the place where we recognize and realize that we can embrace the ability to serve Jesus Christ. Because He put that seed inside of you. He was our servant. And because He was our servant, then you and I were able to serve in that capacity. Jesus said in Luke 6, chapter 6, I don't know, maybe down about verse 46, He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" He said, why do you want to pretend? You know, I spent a lot of time in my life before I got saved pretending. Come on, and I don't want no more of it. I don't want nothing about pretense. I want the real thing, amen? You know, I don't want no Pepsi. I want a Coke. If I'm going to drink a Coke, I want a Coke. I don't want, you know, personal opinion, but remember the old commercial, Coke's the real thing? I want the real thing. I want what Jesus has for me. I want what Jesus has for you. Jesus has got some things for you this morning, and it's all been settled. It was settled on the cross. It was settled when He come up out of that tomb and when He called you by name. The Bible says that you were called before the foundation of the world into a place. Into a place in Jesus. It's there waiting for you. It's there waiting for me. But we got to be in a place and a position where we realize that our lives, our decisions, our words, our actions, they are so critical. They're so important. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to turn them with me in Matthew chapter 6. And look what Jesus says in verse 24. I know you know these verses of Scripture very well. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus makes this statement. No man, no person, no human, no man can serve two masters. Now we got to get that in our heart. We got to realize that. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of times I want to be the master of my life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to say what I want to say. I want to go where I want to go. And that's okay sometimes. But sometimes you and I have a divine appointment. God wants us to enjoy our life, and we're not just some robot that you and I, He wants us to go through our lives doing and making our own decisions, but at the same time, He wants us to make them under the influence, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know that when we're enjoying everyday life, or even when we're having to do the things occupying until He comes, that He's involved in that. And He's going to be a part of that. And so I want Him to be my master in that. I want to be thinking about what I got to do, but I want to be listening to Him, recognizing that He is my Lord. And in this situation, it can be something that's very menial, something that seems temporal, but praise be to God, He can make it something that's eternal. He can cause me to have an encounter with Him and an encounter with someone else that is something that is of a lasting consequence. He can allow me in a situation where I'm having to live my life, serve Him, and enable somebody to see a glorious Jesus, amen? A risen Savior, a God that loves them. And so He said right here, He said, get it in your heart. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But what He's saying is you can't have two gods. We've got to make up our mind. In the Old Testament, it says, how long are you going to waver between two points? How long? You know, and that's the question to us. Are we really going to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of our life? If we are, we're going to do what He says. We're going to yield to Him. And when we yield to Him, even though it may be things that the flesh doesn't like and the mind, the soul doesn't understand, the Spirit is going to be in agreement. And the Spirit's going to be excited about the possibility that, hey, this is just a normal circumstance. There's something happening here. I'm getting to serve the one who served me. There's something eternal happening in this situation. Maybe I don't know all about it. I don't understand it completely. But I know right now that God is on the throne of my heart. And I know that the Spirit of God is anointing me, and that anointing is flowing out of my life. There's a light. There's a love that's going forth. And I see an opportunity for somebody to be changed. Amen? Come on, that's what this is all about. Jesus served us that we could become the servants of God. And He said we weren't just servants in John chapter 15. He said, you're not just a servant that don't know what I'm doing. He said, you're my friends. Come on, John 15, 13, 14, and 15. He tells us that. He said, I want you to know this, that, you know, a slave, a servant, they don't know what the whole plan is. They don't understand. But He said, I'm going to tell you some things because I know I can trust you. I know that you're my friend. Oh, be encouraged this morning. Out of the mouth of Jesus, out of the mouth of the one that died for you, He called you His friend. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come on, that's Jesus. And that friend wants to walk with you and I in every situation and show us how we can truly enjoy life. See, you and I will never be able to enjoy life to the fullest and be completely satisfied until we're serving Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. We've tried other things. Come on. And it might have had some happiness, but it was so temporal. It didn't last. But all of a sudden, when we got into a place and it may have tore our flesh up, and it may have even caused our mind to race, but there was such a peace in our spirit because we knew that we were doing what God Almighty called us to do. That's what we're learning about. That's what we're embarking on. This is this journey that we're on. He said, therefore, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, from the Greek, he's saying, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious in trying to see, I used to think that the next electronical gadget, that was about my life. Or doing this next thing, that was about what my life was about. But when I come to a place and a position, and come on, you and I were ever learning. Nobody's perfect. We're growing. But when we recognize that our life is about what Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. When we recognize that Jesus is our life and the things that He's involved in, the things that He's enabling us to receive the seed of servanthood and then become a servant in, that's what's lasting. That's what changes everything. Let's look here at what Joshua said in the book of Joshua. You could quote these verses of Scripture. I know Joshua chapter 24. But let's look at this. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. Let's really start with verse 14. He says, now, therefore, fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. And serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And that's what you and I want. To be able to reverence God and to be able to be a servant, we've got to be sincere in our heart. Now, let me tell you what sincerity means. Sincerity means that I may mess up, but I didn't want to. Come on, how many messed up this last week or this past month? Come on, we didn't want to. Okay? So that doesn't mean that we're not serving God. That means that we're going through trials and tribulations and we're learning how to be sanctified and we're learning how to listen to the Spirit of God and we're learning how to let the Holy Spirit help us put the flesh down and walk in the Spirit. Amen? And so He said, I want you to do that in sincerity and truth. And that's where the truth comes in. The truth is that you and I are flesh. Come on, we're spirit beings, but we're in this flesh. Amen? And so this flesh is going to aggravate you. It's going to aggravate me until the sounding of the trumpet. But the truth is that through Jesus Christ, we can crucify this flesh. We can be empowered in our spirit and we can serve God. That's the exciting part. They said, now therefore, fear, reverence the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. Come on, I'll never be able to say Lord, Lord until I get some of these things out of my life. Come on, the thing he's talking about, the gods that was in your life, that was in my life before we crossed over into Jesus. Amen. That's what this is a type of. And in other words, those issues and those situations and those mindsets and those struggles and those hurts, those hearts, they're still there. They're still there. But to be able to serve God, we got to allow Him to help us to put them away. Come on, to put them away. We can't do it on our own. I can't sit here and not think about what the enemy's trying to get me to think about. I can't stop thinking about the hurt that I have down deep in my soul. I can't stop. What I've got to do is replace that. And I replace that by reverencing God and allowing the Holy Spirit to show me the truth of where I'm at, what I'm dealing with, what I'm struggling with, and allow that to change my situation. Amen? Drop down to verse 15. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose. Every situation, you and I, we've got a choice. That's why Jesus said, it's not about because you called me Lord, Lord once. It's because you decided to do the will of my Father. And that's what we got to get into the motion of. We got to recognize that there is a will. There's a will of God. And it's not something that's secret. It's not something that's hidden. It's something that God is wanting to whisper in your ear. It's something that God is wanting to anoint you and I to be able to walk in. There's a steps that's laid out before us. And they match your stride perfectly. Amen? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now what's he telling us here? Even, and of course, when they crossed over the Red Sea, it was a type of baptism, but when they crossed over the Jordan and come into the promises, a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but a type of coming into the promises of God. You and I, we may be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We may be trying to live in some of the promises, but we've got to know that in our land, in our world, come on, there's enemies. He just said there was gods, little g, little gods of the Amorites, and Amorites, Ammon. It's an inbred. That's what the word. It's from the inside. And you and I, we've got to let God, by the Spirit of God, show us everything about our hearts. What's inside of me today, God, that is keeping me from being the servant you died and resurrected to make me to be? What's in me? What's hindering me? Where does the devil have a stronghold? Where is there a place where there's a lie, like Brother Dennis talked about, vanity, empty words? Where is that at that's in my life today? And as we get honest with God, all of a sudden, He shows us. But we've got to make the decision. I'm not going to serve that God anymore. I'm going to serve the living God. I'm going to allow that to be a part of who I am. He said, "And if it seem fit unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But look what he said. And you know this verse. Everybody quotes it, but we need to prophesy it over our life. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will. We will, because we can do it. Because we're not doing it in our own power, our own understanding. We're not doing it in our own ability, but we're doing it because the Bible says that you and I have a several ability. Come on, out of the mouth of Jesus, He called unto His servants. Come on, He gave them talents and He gave them according to their several ability. Each one of you has an ability that's perfect, and God gave you exactly what you need to fit you. Amen? You're not overloaded. You're not underloaded. You're loaded legally and perfectly under the grace of God, by the anointing of God, to do what God called you to do. You're set up this morning to be a success. All you and I have got to do is to choose. 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 I'm going to let Jesus, who served me, make me into His servant. Amen? I'm going to let it come to pass. And when you make that decision and I make that decision, oh, things start changing. All of a sudden, the things, the battles that I had in my mind, in my soul, they start changing because the Spirit of God is continually talking to me, continually talking to you. And as He talks to your soul, your mind gets changed. And as your mind gets changed, all of a sudden, your body comes under subjection to your spirit. And you start walking in the spirit. And you start able to enjoy situations and relationships that you've never been able to enjoy before because the devil stole things from you. Because while you were in the middle of the relationship, the devil kept showing you something negative or reminding you of a hurt or a heartache or a lack. Come on now, every one of us has been there. We're talking about changing some things. We're talking about allowing the servant of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, actually change us and follow in His pattern. Amen? Becoming made into that image. Made into the very image and the like of God. Let's look at a verse of Scripture and I'll let you go. Go with me to 1 Peter. And I want you to think about this verse of Scripture here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we won't take time to read all of this, but look what Jesus, by the Spirit of God, says to the Apostle Peter. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, we got to get to be able to walk in newness of life, like Dennis taught us in the epistle of Ephesians. To be able to walk in it, we've got to see that we have been begotten again. And we have a lively hope. There's a hope of God that's inside of you, and it come at the moment of salvation. It was a seed sowed inside of you. And that seed is in there, and it's waiting for you and I to accept it. That seed is waiting because the Word of God, it never rots. It never, the prophet said that God's Word will not return back to Him. What? Void. But it will accomplish. God's waiting. So the Word's there, the seed, the lively hope's there, but you and I have got to believe it, we've got to embrace it, and we've got to receive it. Just like you plant a seed in the earth has got to receive that seed for it to take root and grow. Now He said, "Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." God's got something for us. Okay? We got a message to tell people. Come on, everybody you talk to, you know, especially if they're getting a little bit older and they don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and you mention something that makes them think about the brevity of life. You see the look in their eyes. You see the demeanor change. And you see a moment of reality that they understand that this life is short. Okay, what do we do then? By the Spirit of God, then we tell them about what God already has reserved for them. Come on. This is an inheritance that was bought by Jesus. Jesus had to die. He ransomed us back from death. Satan is death. Hebrews 2:14. Amen. And He ransomed us back and He gave us a hope, a lively hope. It's for us. And look what it says. It's reserved in heaven for you. There's going to be many that will never meet the reservation. Come on, you and I, we can call ahead and we can make a reservation to maybe some fancy restaurant. It's there for us, but we got to go. Amen? Well, God's got some things for us. But He wants us to live out of it today to make it a reality to all of those that is looking at your life today, tomorrow, this week, this year, next year. Amen?
Amen.
Now look what happens in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Come on, we need to be encouraged. We're kept. I'm a servant, you're a servant, and we're kept by the true servant. We've got to get a hold of that. That means that you can go forth, and when the enemy attacks you, when the enemy tries to destroy you, you prophesy, you tell the enemy what you know, you say, "I'm kept under the power of salvation because of my faith in Jesus Christ. Devil, you're a liar. This is not going to come on me. This is not going to come on my family. This is not going to come on my church. You're a liar. You're a defeated foe. You're a bully. You want to try to sow fear in my life, but I've got faith. I'm believing in what God's done. I'm serving God. I'm not going to serve you. See, the devil wants to put fear in you and I, and when we have fear, we're serving the devil. But we're going to serve God, amen?
Yes.
We're going to serve God. Now one more time, I'm going to read this out, reread it, and I'll let you go. He said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again." Say, that's me. "Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. "To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled." You've got a servanthood. You've got a place. "And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You and I, we got to recognize it is the last time. I know he's talking about the sounding of the trumpet, but we've got to have a precursor to the very last. And that precursor is what brings in people. Amen? It's what gets them in a place and a position to be saved. Now, a lot of times you talk to people, and I'll close with this thought, unless, heaven forbid, this never be us. A lot of people want to serve God, but they only want to serve God in an advisory capacity. How many times have people, they wanted to tell you what to do, but they didn't want to help you do what needed to be done? Well, Jesus, He just didn't tell us what to do. He helped us do what needed to be done because He done what we couldn't do. He paid the price for our sin to be washed away and reconciled us back to God. And now He's going to walk with us and lead us and show us how we can do the works that He did. Only in greater number, because you and I are greater in number. Amen? So this morning I want you to be encouraged. I know this has been a hard year. And there's been a lot of things that's happened to us physically, emotionally. There's been a lot of things that the devil's done to try to shake our faith. But I want you to know that Jesus knows everything. And He's put that seed inside of you. And He is going to make sure if you'll receive it, if I'll receive it, we're going to see things that we never dreamed possible. Now this coming year, we're going to need God like we've never needed Him before, because there's going to come great persecution on the church. We've been protected here in America, but this coming year, things are going to change. And you're going to have to serve, and I'm going to have to serve, and we're going to have to do it in faith with joy to be able to be in the place and the position to cause people to come in. Every time there's persecution, God's church grows. Come on. The church is on the decline. Persecution's coming. But God's going to grow His church, and you and I are going to be a part of it. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your great grace, Your great mercy. Lord, I pray for every person that's here. Lord, I know that there's many things going on in many people's lives, from physical ailments to emotional battles to heartache. Lord, but I ask that in every one of those situations, let us see what You've done for us. Let us see that You've served us in that area of our life to bring the will of God, which the will of God is the answer to that problem, to that struggle, to that need. And whether there's people in this building this morning that need a touch physically, emotionally, spiritually, whether there's people who need guidance, whether there's people who just need strength, I know, Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that You're here to give it. And I ask that that seed, that lively hope, that very revelation of what You have done for us, that we embrace it, that we receive it, that we allow it to explode in our life and to bring forth Your very power and promise. Let it be starting this morning, Father. Oh, we ask You in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning, make yourself an altar, just spend some time with the Lord, say, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Lord, You know what You would say to me. You know what I'm struggling with. You know what I've said, Lord, Lord, about, but I'm not doing it. And I need Your anointing. I need Your forgiveness, and I need Your anointing to help me to be able to do it. I've got fear in this area, and I need you to help me to have faith in this area. But here I am. I'm coming to you, and I know what your word says. Your word says that you will in no wise cast out anybody who comes. You said if I draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto me. You said if I would be humble, that you would give me grace. Lord, help us, everyone, Lord, to respond personally and intimately to you. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.